Fuck this week, man.
You know what?
Been a rough one.
Yeah.
And yeah, hey, we can even tie that right into the show. So you know what? Here we go.
Oh,
we can.
Oh, damn it! That thing. All right.
Sometimes it sounds normal.
Sometimes it sounds fine. Sometimes it sounds like a heat, like a hot, like a carburetor that's gone wrong.
Does this one still work?
Hey.
Does it sound slow or does it sound normal to you?
Are you normal? What have you been doing?
Weird. Hey, welcome to AE Double Back for May 25th, 2022. Yeah, it's been a shit week, and for some reason, JR thought it was a good idea to talk about it.
Look, so, I actually liked that.
I did appreciate it, frankly. I enjoy watching a wrestling promotion that admits that things are true or exist. And yeah. like apart from like unpleasant like news that doesn't make for a really good, like entertaining time, like they also like admit that other wrestling promotions exist, and just in general, that's good for my mental state when like truth is truth.
That's fair. We'll talk about when we get there, but okay. Let's just start off.
Okay.
Let's get going.
AEW in Las Vegas. I almost said AEW double back, and I'm like, you guys know where you are.
That's us.
AEWW.AEW.com.
Oh, dude. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Real quick, I forgot to mention that we asked for it, and we've started getting feedback. People are sending in their thumbs.
Yes.
So as we go along, I will be dropping in some feedback thumbs from listeners.
And I want to say that of all the instances in which we asked for it, this is the it that we actually are getting, which is actually something okay.
So we're in Vegas. Woo! And we just opened to the steel cage. So you know what that means. MJF comes out in his ref clothes.
He had a... this was one wrestler referee uniform that I didn't hate, and ordinarily I'm really not into it when they're like, I am such a special physical specimen that I can't have my arms confined by the referee sleeves that are meant for a mortal man. But because MJF like had his custom in other ways that felt like nicely aligned with his character, I was like, oh, that's kind of all right.
I was never a fan of Vince coming out in his, you know, ref shirt with the no sleeves and just like flexing his guns, because it just felt very like, man, you're a 70-year-old dude who's taking way too many too much human growth hormone.
But
stop,
Stallone can make it happen. And he's exactly like Stallone.
Basically.
He wishes. Anyways. Okay, so MJF ref clothes. Sean Spears. This is a match with Sean Spears versus Wardlow. Whoever wins, which, what am I saying? If Wardlow wins, really only if Wardlow wins, there'd be a match at Double or Nothing. So you know he's gonna win just because.
I mean, that's it,
right?
That's the awkward situation that Sean Spears finds himself in. Is if he wins, he has to go on to have a grudge match with MJF, even though they have no beef. Yeah. But he still has to.
I mean, here's the thing about most MJF stuff. Like, you know exactly where it's going, and it goes exactly where it goes. And it's because great. He's so good at it, you're like, yes, I didn't need to be surprised by any of it.
Oh, no,
exactly what I want. Show him like running around scared. Show him, you know, missing his comeuppance until the pay-per-view. Just like all of that classic stuff. Oh, and man. He's so good at it that it's just like, yeah. Yeah,
this was a really a nice panoply of ways in which a bad unobjective ref could do things. So and you're like, oh, well, obviously he's going to smirk and stop the count when Wardlow has Spears pinned. Yeah. But it sure is. It sure does work.
Yeah. Spears, by the way, came out with a mask this time around. I thought it was kind of neat.
I you know, like it. And he's got the chair branded with it too, which is nice.
Yeah, and it's his like, you know, Canadian maple leaf skull imagery that he's been that he has, you know. So it was kind of neat because he was able to make that look like just a regular skull mask, but it's like not a well, anyways, you know what I mean. Anyway, I thought it was cool, and I was thinking just how far he's come from being like just another sort of nameless white dude in wrestling that looks like everybody else who Tully gave a glove to. Remember all that?
Right.
That was supposed to be a thing.
That was a long time ago.
He was Tully's best bud and whatever, and went away.
It's an interesting like match in the sense that it is two people who both. I mean, like it's not like Wardlow has been like proceeding by fits and starts and repeatedly trying things and having them not work out. It's just been an extremely slow play out of a thing.
Which I like that they've been so patient.
Yeah.
Because it feels right now. You know what I mean? It feels right.
Yeah, I think for Teresa and I, it feels especially right that that this white guy got like a lot of rope to come to something.
All I know is that I thought, you know, good for Sean. And thinking about also Sean Spears and Wardlow just in general, like here are two guys who really, really depended on MJF. And MJF, this new brash superstar, gets over these two guys. And Sean Spears had been trying for a bit to get his gimmick over.
Also, and this is an interesting reversal because he was real good in NXT. He got over, and when he came to AEW, a lot of us, me included, were like, yeah, dude, this is a great pickup. You know, perfect 10 Ty Dillinger. He was fantastic. And for some reason, never quite clicked with the crowd. So basically, I've been waiting for him to
find
to show off what I know he can do because I've seen him, you know.
Yeah.
Which he's one of those guys where like, you know what? Go ahead and give him another chance because we know he has it. We have seen it in the past.
Yeah.
Some people you're like, why are you still doing this? Stop pushing this. This is never going to happen.
Quit trying to make it a thing.
Mm-hmm.
No, he did great. And so did Wardlow. I thought this was a good match. You know, of course it's going to be. I thought it was really funny when Sean accidentally hits MJF with a chair.
Oh, boy.
And MJF is totally knocked out with his eyes open, which I'm like, that's weird.
I feel like that's a signature of his. I feel like I've seen him do that before.
The crowd's saying, you fucked up.
That was fun. I am concerned about that chair shot because I'm pretty sure it was an unprotected chair shot.
Oh, are you concerned because that's why Sean Spears is the chairman? Do you guys remember that?
It was a long time ago. He doesn't really run any board whatsoever, but he actually just hits people with chairs. Am I that right?
No, he specifically became the chairman of AEW after he did an ungimmicked chair shot on Cody several years ago. Yeah.
Anytime there's an unprotected chair shot, I'm like, no, 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 no.
And he's been hanging out in the chair lockers ever since. Many of those.
I think it's okay to do like an unprotected chair shot if the chair is like a lazy boy or something like that that has padding.
Can you imagine throwing a lazy boy at somebody?
Yes. If he used a lazy boy recliner, I would be okay with it. Just checking. Did he use a lazy boy recliner? No, he didn't. Go
fuck.
I want a motorized lazy boy. I'm gonna drive myself around town. Okay. So then were the, of course, power bombs Sean Spears, because he was all verklempt because he knocked out MJF. Mm-hmm. So, you know, then of course were those like, there's no ref, so what are we gonna do, right? Well, good old Refy runs in.
Good old Refy.
Wow. Wow.
Good old Refy with his guitar and his hordes of singing children.
Hordes?
Yeah, you know, hordes of children.
What are you talking about?
She's talking about Raffy. Raffy.
Yeah, I'm making a joke.
Thank you. Okay.
And you can admit it's a terrible joke. I get it.
I have a 4-year-old. I listened to Baby Beluga on the regs, and I did not catch that reference. So. You see,
you're really losing your spark here, Chan.
If you told me Baby Beluga was a rapper, I would have no choice but to believe it.
Yeah. Baby Bunny now headlining with Baby Beluga.
Yeah. Swimming in the sea.
All right. So we got power bombs. There's a new ref. And Wardlow wins. He climbs to the top of the cage and he's like, "It's my time." And that always makes me kind of chuckle sometimes.
You've reached the point in your life that when somebody else imagines that they finally have like life by the horns.
Yeah. I'm like, you wait. God's a cruel fucking asshole.
Yeah. I remember when I was 28 and thought I had it all.
A semblance of balance in this world.
I bet you think this is an opportunity that is going to catapult you to success, Wardlow. Guess what?
Dun dun dun. Oh. Nay, no. I say.
yeah.
All right. So, but all in all, I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah. Also, I want to give a special shout out to the poor guy who Wardlow throws into the cage, and then he slid down between the cage and the apron. I'm like, dude, are you okay?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how much that guards. Yeah, I don't know how much that stretches, and like if he like seriously hurt himself going down like that, because it didn't look right.
He probably got up that day thinking, "This is my time."
This is my time, and there you go.
That's what happens.
One day you're at the top of the cage, the next you're at the under the apron.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, actually, in reference to that, Wardlow's continued perhaps success, listener Jerry Armstrong tweeted us, and he said he thinks the War Dog matches up with anyone in wrestling today. Could be the next Stone Cold or HBK, just my opinion. I don't know, because like Wardlow has got, you know, a lot of great physical assets and whatnot, and like, you know, he's getting better and whatnot, but it's also real early in his career.
Yeah.
So, you know,
we haven't seen a whole lot of versatility. I do think he's got good personality at this point.
Uh-oh.
His mic skills have gotten better. There's always room for improvement here. But I would like to see more versatility and, but I mean, right now he's poised to do exactly what he should be doing, what he can do. And that is be a successful singles run at AEW.
I mean, right? Yeah.
Be the wardliest Wardlow he could possibly be.
Yeah, that's all you gotta do, Wardlow.
I forgot about that. I took forever photoshopping Wardlow onto an Elmo thing, and I didn't get any likes on it. It was a real disappointment.
Where did you put this thing?
35 minutes of Photoshop work for nothing.
Where did you? What did you post it to?
Twitter.
Did you post it on our Twitter?
Yes, of course I did. Why would I put that on my personal Twitter?
Because you're weird like that. You're funky.
Yeah, you're a weirdo.
You're hurtful. Stone cold.
Her Stone Cold Weirdo.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Stone Cold Weirdo, yo.
Stone Cold Medida.
Nope. Nope.
I realized I can't reproduce funky that cold my Medina, voice that I want. Yeah, funky cold Medina.
I was conflating the two.
Next segment.
Okay. This is when we have JR talking about, you know, being with the families in Texas. Yeah. And I like, though, that he's like, something's got to stop. Can you make it happen?
That's, yeah.
I think he's alluding to voting, but I don't know.
It just felt like I'm definitely not on the like, oh, we can't talk about, you know, like, let's not politicize, blah, 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 blah. It just felt like there was kind of nothing there. Like when they're like
overlords,
when they're like a wrestling person has died, you know, condolences, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, that makes sense. But in the context of the show, like, okay. Like, are you going to do something about it? Are you going to like, hey, call this number, or, you know, do something, or just like, but to just say like, wow, that's real bad.
I thought it was, you know, a small moment. It seemed very heartfelt. They obviously didn't write anything for this, but because maybe there's two things happening. We're 2 days away from it. It's been all we can think about for 2 days. And we do need this separation. You know, we need this escapism. So it is respectful, I think, to mention it. Because it absolutely is going to be in the history books if our schools continue to make history books. And, you know.
I don't see if I see this one going. I never read stuff like this in history books.
Yeah, you did. You read about the thing that happened at Kent State.
Maybe your school taught that.
Oh, okay. Well.
Arizona, I don't think is a particularly forward-thinking or even backwards thinking.
Well, I mean, I don't like it's an entirely separate issue, but I think in general schools don't like to teach things that rile up.
Yeah, which is my whole joke of whether or not we continue to print.
Oh yeah,
and have history books because that's all history is. So, anyways, all I wanted to say was that, you know. They had a small moment and they can leave it with JR because everyone loves JR and he's known for his JR-isms. So even if he goes a little off the cuff, well, they haven't gotten in trouble yet. So they just let him do that.
Not yet. No, and yeah. I think it was just something that you kind of need to do in order to make it possible to enjoy the show normally because otherwise it's sitting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a thing that I, in the parlance of our show, I wouldn't thumb down it. I would just kind of middle it because, like, it seemed kind of unnecessary and didn't, like, really help anything. But, like, I'm not mad. And you definitely have solid points. So I'm not going to.
Thank you.
Yeah. Solid points.
Thanks.
Look at me backing down from an argument.
Hey.
I'm growing as a person.
Growth.
Oh. All right. Gross.
I said growth.
Well, I said
Calder heard gross, which is correct.
You're right. Calder knows that I have a lisp, and that's what I meant. I'm from Spain, and that's how I say it.
Oh, man. I'm learning a lot about people now.
Tarifa is Castilian.
Jazz.
Tapas.
They're backstage. And they're walking.
Walking and talking.
Walk and talk. Doing a real, what's the West Wing? Doing a real West Wing.
Yeah, a Sorkin.
A Sorkin, if you will.
Because he does it in all of them.
So basically, they're chatting, they're talking some shit. They run across a guy who's just doing his job backstage, but he's wearing a Mox t-shirt. And they take this opportunity to talk shit to the guy. And then Jericho throws a fireball in his face.
Because he's a wizard.
He's like, I'm a wizard. And he walks away. It's like, oh, my God. This is fucking hilarious. I love this bit so much. Oh, let's keep it going.
It's goddamn silly. And honestly, like I do wish they had sort of preserved the mystique of the fireball, I do feel like they kind of blew it with their original segment. So like, yeah, just fucking throw fireballs on people. That's fine, man. Just let's have fun with it. But also, I just really like the dynamism of them cutting the promo as they're walking in. Because normally you'll see the camera like looking at them talking to each other.
Yeah.
But this one is like actually, you know, directed at whoever, you know, and it's different and I like it.
I think that whenever they shoot a fireball, Jericho should turn to the camera and respectfully thank Super Mario for paving the way with fireballs for future generations.
Okay, to build those. He needs to wear a white hat, white overalls, a white shirt. I'm into this.
He's not letting them sing anymore, so everyone should instead start singing the Super Mario theme when he cuts them off. Not level two. Good lord. What are you talking about?
Yeah, the question is which level. Are we stopping there?
No, let's go.
I was about to go into the water level, and then I had the good sense to stop. Teresa did not.
No, I have no sense. Get out of here.
Do the Mario.
From side to side.
All right. We've got.
Hold on. Did we all thumb that up?
It's an up.
Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Yes.
Which my brother sent me the complete series, by the way, in case you guys want to borrow it.
What a great show.
It's on Netflix. It's a great show. You don't have to go anywhere special.
Well, I think Teresa was trying to offer value and you shot her down. And I want to say that Teresa, like, I appreciate what you offer to us.
My brother said,
I'm not driving to your house for something I can stream at home.
Well, look, my brother is a firm believer in having hard copies of anything you like. If you like it, you need a hard copy.
Just like Nixon. Look how that turned out for him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what's someone going to do? Throw us in jail for having like really obscure, unwatchable 80s shows?
Teresa's going to get in trouble for... Teresa's going to get in trouble for the missing 18 minutes from an episode of the Legend of Zelda cartoon.
it would be Jason the Wheeled Warriors. All right. So we did all that. Okay, next. We've got Shivani. We've got CM Punk.
What? Oh, hold on. I forgot to mention that we got a thumb up for the for both segment one and segment two. From Andy, so just keeping tabs.
Psycho Andy Costello.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. Right on track.
Mm-hmm.
We got Shivani.
Bang, bang, bang.
Talking to CM Punk and Hangman in the ring. They're doing a face-to-face. Now, this, I'm like, I don't need any more of this, but okay, let's just see what's happening. But then Hangman was going on, and I honestly was not interested in what he was saying, like, at all. It was so sanctimonious. It was just, and CM Punk even called him out and be like, you know, you just went around in circles. It didn't quite make sense, but whatever. I don't know why you're taking this so personally. And I come away from it being like, I like that guy. I like CM Punk. Hanging out on a page. I don't even know who you are anymore, man.
Oh, how quickly you abandon him.
I was never like 100% on his side anyway. But whatever.
I really enjoyed this, and I feel like they did what they were trying to do. Punk is trying to get under Paige's skin, and so basically, you know, Paige is just kind of in a rage, and he can't, you know, keep things straight. He's just super pissed at Punk, and, you know, like, loses control himself and and decks him at the end of it. And as he's walking away, you know, both the announcers are telling you, and also you can just see in his body language, he's like, oh, I fucked up. Jesus Christ, what's going on? Do I have what it takes? And which is his, in the same way that, you know, like, oh, he's got a bad knee. Like, that is Paige's Achilles heel. And
wait, his knee is his heel?
He said,
well, no, Achilles actually, his insecurity heel is his knee, which is his heel. and so
where do you study medicine?
Yeah. Shush. When you construct an angle like that, that sort of plays on this whole insecurity thing in a new and fresh and exciting way, like, I'm just, yeah, I love all of this. And for all the, you know, that the words weren't, you know, quite what they might want to be, like, the passion, I got it and I felt it. And like, it just felt really old school, like two guys who are real, you know, mad at each other, just going at it in the middle of the ring. And I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt potent and genuine to me. I liked that.
What did you thumb it, Teresa?
Pretty sure I said I thumbed it up.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Because it sounded like you were saying, like, I can't stand Paige. This is boring me. What is going on here?
I did say I like Punk.
And, okay,
but I'm
and
just Punk saying, I was very much not into Adam Page.
Yeah, well, I think she was expressing her feelings about Paige in like as a part of the total whole, in the same way that somebody might say they ate noodles, but what they really were eating was pad thai.
None of that made that into the show, Calder. No one's going to know what you're talking about.
Thank God, no one needs to listen to us
talking about
talk nonsense. Hey,
everybody needs to know about cavatappi, all right? And Marcella Hazan sauce is the bomb.
Okay, you need to stop before you get us canceled.
Wait, what?
People are getting so mad.
listener Andy actually thumbed this segment down, which is kind of why I thought that, like, you were also against it.
I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of the fact that we have another moment with these two. But, you know, we have to have something, obviously, because we're going up into a pay-per-view where this is going to be a really, you know, people want to watch this match. But
no,
I just find it interesting that, like, you know, for such a long time, you know, you even against my wishes when he was, like, fighting Penta or something like this, like, you know, they've built Hangman to a place where everyone's rooting for him, right? But mm-hmm. I can feel myself, but you can also hear the crowd turning on him. And so it's interesting. This is how they want me to feel, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they're turning. They're just like, they really like Punk too. And so, you know, it's kind of back and forth. Like, who do we want to root for here? Because, yeah. Anyhow,
so okay.
Anyway,
we did the thumbs.
Anyway you want it, that's the way
that's
you
the way
need
I
it.
Need anyway it, anyway you want it. Da 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 da.
Okay, so there's a promo with Anna Jay and Jade. Sorry, I got to move over because my cat's about to roll off the bed. because she's completely weird and bizarre. This one. Okay.
Probably should take her back.
No, stop. Anna Jay was saying that she's ready. Like, she's ready to be the champ. I'm like, no fucking way.
I think that they should, like, do like a whole, like, super segment in which everybody declares that they believe they're ready for the championship.
You know what I mean? I'm like, get the fuck out of here. First of all, Jade could floss her teeth with you.
Like, true.
You probably
size
should.
Size difference. And just no.
Yeah, I mean, I like Anna Jay, but she is not a credible opponent here.
Yeah.
And
I'm not really a fan of hers, but it's okay.
they need to bring in more goddamn talent.
Yes, they do.
And even if it's just a thing where that, like, oh my God, this person, you know, who is this person from NJPW or, you know, Ring of Honor or wherever, and they show up and we get a month of build, like, oh my God, this person is crazy, you know, strong, and like they could possibly take down, and then, you know,
they Jade lose.
Beats them, and then they go away.
Yeah.
Who are they? Who are they?
Perfectly fine.
Who are they bringing into the women's division from NJPW?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, whoever from wherever, you do like they do in the territory days until you have, you know, like a full enough division where you can have a lot of people who could theoretically be the champion.
I do think it, I mean, still that it may be a question of the time and the investment as opposed to the personnel, because they have a lot of women.
Right. But
then do that.
Let's
do
just
that.
Say
I'm
this.
Saying they haven't done that. So
Anna Jay absolutely is not going to get the TBS belt, period.
No.
Just not going to happen.
No. Not this year.
No one's asking for it. So luckily, none of us are going to get it. But I thumbs this up because Jade,
yeah,
who says same. Very little, is so fucking perfect and looks so polished in this. I love it so
She's
much.
Nothing but money. She said it. Yeah. I believe it.
It's absolutely true. And AEW has the checks to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She has gotten so good at cutting promos now.
Yeah. Cut the shit, Tony. oops, sorry.
Wow. It sounds like you need to cut the shit.
It's just my cat.
Show my cat. You know what? You've sent pictures. I'm still not sure that your cat exists. I think you're just using her as an excuse. Like, I'm sorry, I was late. You know what?
I wish.
This is my cat. You know what?
Have we seen you with the cat?
Here's when you'll know I'm lying. When I'm like, I'm so sorry, I had to take my kid to daycare. That's when you know I'm lying. Oh, my kid's sick. I can't go out.
that's actually my sex safe word. My kid's sick. I can't go out. And
that's a very long word, Calder.
Yeah, it's
you might die.
Well, look, I don't want to muddle the messaging at this point, because if like somebody has to think twice about what my current word is, like that could cause problems.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay, so we've got William Regal on announce desk. We also have Jericho on the announce desk. Ugh, and he was so fucking funny tonight. We've got Eddie and Mox versus Private Party. By the way, Jas came in with Jericho. We're just kind of standing behind Jericho.
Dun, dun, dun.
it's that situation if you bring children that weren't supposed to be at a wedding, and it's like, well, what do we do with them? I guess they can stand next to the table.
Yeah, I guess we can pull up a stool. They can sit next to me. Yeah, and Private Party, I love their entrance. I really like these guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And Marquen, is that a white beard?
Yes, I brought it up last week, and I mentioned that I fucking love it. I made another note this week that I continue to fucking love it. So yeah,
it's a big win for me. A close up of it is what I need. A really good long look. Anyway, yeah, I thought this was a great match. It was everything you want from Eddie and Mox.
Nope.
It's not a lot of high flying, but definitely the antics that you're familiar with Private Party. Ugh, Isaiah Cassidy, get out of town. I really like Mark Quinn. I don't know. I just love Private Party. So, and then, you know, even though this isn't technically a Blackpool Combat Club thing, both Eddie and Mox got Private Party to finish at the same time.
Yep, yep. Eddie had him tapping for like a minute before he finally.
Yeah. Well,
certainly always the goal to finish at the same time.
I know, I had to giggle. okay, so
no, you didn't. You didn't have to giggle.
I
was not necessary.
Look, I can't hold it in. Otherwise,
look.
who knows it, what bad things will happen when you hold things in.
It's our right and our duty as Americans to giggle at unintentionally funny sexual or scatological moments that pop up in our day-to-day lives.
Yes. You just said duty. I didn't giggle one bit.
See what I'm not saying? Not a little. It's in the
failed.
Constitution.
You failed your responsibilities. Like, it's just one more example of civics not mattering to people anymore.
All right. But Jas goes after Mox and Eddie, and then Santana and Ortiz come in there, and then Danielson too. I mean, it's like you can't fuck with the Blackpool Combat Club and their friends. You just can't.
No.
And you can't fuck with Eddie and his friends.
No.
You just can't.
I mean, you're running out of people you can fuck with, frankly.
Frankly.
So few people to be fucked with.
I thumbs it up.
Same.
Yeah.
There's a cool Owen Hart tribute moment, but it was really just like a promoting the upcoming matches. There is Tony and Britt, Samoa Joe and Kyle O'Reilly. I love Samoa Joe so fucking much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if we're thumbing this, but I thumbed it.
Yeah, I mean, it's new stuff. So, like, yeah, thumb up. It was short and it, you know, just like, oh, by the way, these matches are happening. These people are all scary, mostly. So let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thoughts?
Okay. That's it.
Rocky Romero and Trent Beretta, a.k.a. Roppongi Vice. Versus FTR. I love FTR's music so much. It makes me happy. Caprice on Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, announce desk, whatever.
Yeah.
We got Roppongi Vice fucking shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking shit up. Fucking FTR up. And FTR is fucking them up.
It was a great, like whenever it's FTR, but like frequently, like also the people that they're fighting contribute to this, obviously, but just the solidity of the matches that they have, like just meaning like that it's like a real strong style thing, and that's always like very welcome.
Yeah.
Honestly. This match was kind of a little slow. It didn't really grab me a whole lot. But the post-match antics were what really sold me. I'm like, okay, I'm into this.
So Roppongi Vice almost wins, but Jeff Cobb and Okana, the
Great O'Con.
O'Con. Or otherwise known as United Empire, they came out to help FTR. Well, it seems like they were helping FTR anyways. But they basically just fucked everyone up and took the belts. were pretending to take the belts. But it was awesome to see because Jeff Cobb, I remember when we were watching Bloodsport.
Yeah.
And just how fucking amazed I was with him then.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God. This guy could potentially do more things with AEW. Yes, please.
Yep.
And O'Con. Well,
it occurred to me that it's a really interesting time of like as far as New Japan talent goes, because they're doing their Best of the Super Juniors tournament. So that's like their cruiserweight like tournament, is it not? And therefore, I just was like, oh, it occurs to me that a bunch like all of their big guys are just sort of waiting around.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, send them over.
Yeah, fuck it.
They were like, the refs are throwing this match out. Which, because there's just too much interference. It was crazy. Can't tell what's going on now. It was just kind of funny. Even if the entire match, all it was to have these guys enter into the AEW world and sphere and gaze. Sorry, then yeah, I'm into it. So it went from a middle to an up for me.
Same.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess I would agree with that.
Okay. What do our followers think?
Thumb up for this one. What a beautiful shooting star press by Mark Quinn. No question.
Wait, you're in the wrong moment.
What?
We're doing Rocky Romero and Trent Beretta.
Hold on.
Wow.
Nope. Also thumbs up. Mobby.
But they doubled down on the Mark Quinn thing, which is weird.
You know what? I didn't mention the Shooting Star Press. That was my bad. So I'm making up for it right now by mentioning the Shooting Star Press.
No, yeah. He's very impressive. Anyways.
Also, like, I recall one of the things that always pissed me off about Raw was you would get a lot of these kind of matches where, you know, people would run in and, you know, it's to advance a story and then the match gets thrown out and then it happens so often. You're like, well, why are we even bothering having matches anymore if none of them count for anything? And like, this is the first time we've seen that in a long ass time.
That's on AEW. True. Like,
nice. Yeah. Every once in a while, absolutely do that.
Yeah.
Just don't do it every other match.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like every third match tops.
Yeah.
So then we have a Hardy Brothers promo, and Matt Hardy is saying he's obviously starting off by maybe backpedaling or something from the Christian thing that Jeff had said, saying, we also had religious upbringing. They must have gotten some sort of backlash. But anyways...
what they had was they realized that every time Jeff opened his goddamn mouth, just nonsense comes out. So we're just going to pretend that he can't talk.
Yeah. I mean, here's Matt trying to make sense of it all, you know, trying to compare the two of them, being like, yeah, we're a lot alike, except, you know, when people see you, they see you as Hardy cosplayers. And I really want to see that on a shirt. I want to see a shirt that's like a cartoony version of, say, okay, you know how they sell those shirts where it's like a girl in a bikini, but like you are the girl in the bikini?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
It's like a cartoon body. What? You know what I mean?
Oh, I see.
On a white shirt. So yeah. I want to see something like that on a shirt, but like one says Jeff and one says Matt. That would be fucking great. Okay, for Hardy cosplayers, I want that. Anyways, but then he goes on this hilarious tear. He's like, "But you know, Hardy cosplayers, we're better than you. We were better than you as babies. We're better than you as teenagers.
Better than you, babies."
And then he's like, "And better it, and now we're better at you in our middle age and extreme."
My favorite part was when he said, like, we're not in our prime, we're in our over prime.
No. Jeff. That is not the best thing. That was the worst thing I've ever heard in I don't know how many decades of watching professional wrestling.
Yeah. It was great because it was like something that would be on a novelty mug.
It made me think he watches home movies too much because that's what they said when they were at camp. And they were like, we're not going to be the underdogs. We're going to be the overdogs. So that's me thinking Jeff just can't think for himself and write his own promo. He has to default to cartoons blaming this like on I Brandon do.
Small.
He has to default to cartoons from the 90s like I do.
How dare you?
Anyways.
I will say that middle-aged and extreme would be a good shirt, except that that's not a good thing.
Why?
I don't like middle-aged people being extreme.
Hey, you can't tie me down, Chan.
it's hilarious when middle people do young people things, and that's a fact.
Yeah, when middle people, you know, wear knee pants and go skateboarding, or when they open a can of Coca-Cola and start rapping, it's hilarious. We've seen it all the commercials. We know.
Very, very funny. Yeah, no, it's great. And that's what Overprime is all about.
Maximum Overprime.
All of this is the worst. I'm sorry.
No, it's great. Like, you know, you would have the shirt that says like I'm not in my prime, I'm in my overtime.
Overtime.
And yeah, to continue in the vein of things that I vehemently disagree with, Andy says Jeff's goat pun moved this from a middle to an up for me.
Ooh.
And that absolutely, it was basically down the moment he opened his mouth. Like, I was like, oh, Jeff or Matt's okay. Yeah, I like this. I can see. Okay. Yeah, I'm digging on this promo. And then Jeff was like, ah! I'm like, done. I'm done. I'm out. I got nothing. This is worst.
Yeah, I just think
you need to think again about why you've lost touch with somebody from America's heartland, Arizona.
He called her, "You're from America's heartland. What did you think?
Yeah.
What did you think?"
It was a middle to me. It was all right, I guess. Like I didn't hate it like particularly, but it was also like not like it was not crazy good.
Okay. I have to say I didn't like Jeff Hardy's part of it, but I appreciated and like Matt Hardy so much, and I thought he was so funny that I upped it.
What?
I know.
Wow.
Hey, did we rainbow, you guys. Did you do a rainbow?
It's a rainbow.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, can't tie us down.
Bang, 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 bang.
I just thought he was so funny. We're better than you as babies.
That was pretty fun.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, babies!
What's that from? Why do you keep saying that?
It's a TMNT2. When Shredder is having the scientist guy make like the super monsters for him to fight the turtles, like he like discovers to his horror that the monsters the scientist made are infants,
yeah,
mentally, and they're doing hilarious
mentally
stuff. Yeah, that's right.
Interesting.
Well, physically they're gigantic monsters,
right? Okay,
I guess they're baby monsters, but they're huge.
Oh. That's the plight of all baby monsters.
Yeah.
No one understands.
No,
and not always the way.
Yeah.
Okay. We got Ricky Starks. We got Swerve. We got Jungle Boy. This was great. I love Swerve. There was a fun moment when Jungle Boy tried to, you know, flip him, and then Swerve landed on his feet, and Jungle Boy's like, what the fuck?
Yep.
Starks. I don't think there's enough words in human language to express how wonderful he is in all ways.
Oh, my. Yes.
Yep.
But I like this match. What did you guys think? It's always weird when it's like three person.
Yeah, three-way. Yeah.
I'm generally in favor of three-ways in AEW because they tend to be really fast affairs. Like there's always something happening. And so you don't have a lot of lulls, and it's just like, high and tight and just go.
It's not generally my favorite kind of match, which is partly that it's not easy to execute, and it's also like I don't know that I enjoy the dynamic even when it goes well, which like outside of AEW I don't think it goes as well as often. And in this, I didn't really find those aspects of it that I don't love, like super offensive. Like it was mostly like that I was able to enjoy, like this assemblage of talent. And like, I did not like I was not that excited about Swerve coming in, but boy, is he like
he's
come
so
on strong,
so strong,
yeah,
so strong,
yeah.
I think that I'm a little over Jungle Boy these days, but like it's a good trio.
Stark's face when Jungle Boy was trying to do a chokehold thing. I mean, he's just so perfect.
It was magical, and it did make up for the fact that he was so loose on that hold that he yeah. just seems like wobbling around him. It's like, you're not even holding on to him. You're just like yeah. on his back.
Sliding off.
Make it look real, for crying out loud.
But the best was when, after the match, when Hobbs, Luchasaurus, Keith Lee come out, and then Keith Lee did like this jump roll, like this, you know,
Jesus Christ.
Like sideways roll.
Yeah.
From the ropes onto Hobbs and Lucha and knocked them down. It was really, it looked really cool. Yeah.
It looked cool. And please let us give the proper respect to the real heroes here. Is fucking Hobbs and Luchasaurus on the ground.
Because yeah.
near 400 pounds comes twirling at you like that. Your instinct, your natural born instinct is get the fuck out of the way.
And all of your body just has to brace and
yeah.
hope for the best, man. We're all going yeah. down.
I think you enter a dissociative state and you just are like, I'm not in
my body
the,
right now.
I'm not at the whatever Mandalay Bay Arena in Las Vegas. I'm in the park having ice cream with Grandpa.
I thumbs this match up.
I did too. JR said something, and I don't remember what it was in reference to, but Ricky did something, and he's like, isn't that a swamp thing? China alligator. And I'm like, China alligator. A, never heard that before. B, gonna assume it's racist. I kind of have to assume that it's racist.
My limited background in the natural sciences tells me that alligators are not to be found in that area.
No, what he meant to say was Komodo dragon, which is close. They can get big. They have like the legs. They mm-hmm. have long tails.
They have the meats.
Also, and the shirt that
big enough.
Keith Lee was wearing says it's like Swerve and Keith Lee, and then underneath the image it says Swerve and Glory, which is or Swerve of Glory, something like that.
Is that their team name?
I guess.
Yeah.
Which is 100% incorrect, especially because on the shirt, like you've got Swerve up here, then you have Swerve down there. It should be House of Glory.
Well,
because whose house? Swerve's house.
You don't want to be all about houses because there's House yeah. of Black.
It's all, yeah. Like, Chan, this is America in the year 2022. Nobody has houses.
Yeah.
Apartment of Glory, I apologize. A rented back House of Glory.
Yeah.
At best.
All right. We've got... Sorry, I just started thinking of... Do you remember the show Get a Life?
I do remember
with
that,
Chris
yeah.
Chris Elliott? Why?
Yeah, because yeah, I was That's about why? To say, you guys were riffing on what type of... living styles, right? And I was thinking apartment above your parents' garage, and then I thought of Get a Life, the show. Okay, that's it. All right, so Dan Lambert, Ethan Page, Scorpio Sky, lol. Very funny.
Interesting.
It was fine. I middled it, actually, because it was just Dan Lambert.
Yes, and it's a toned-down Dan Lambert because, you know, he's sort of face question mark, kind of like not the full-blown a-hole heel that he does so well. This is – they're sliding into the cool heel where people are cheering for them even as they do bad things.
Hmm.
But I do like hearing that they're making a new belt.
Yeah,
because that means they've got some faith in him, and he's going to keep the belt for a little while. Because
they gave
thumbs up.
I keep wanting to say Rusev. They gave Miro. A new one.
Yeah,
and I think Sammy's was new too. So yeah,
possibly.
Yeah.
I did enjoy him being like he drew this correlation between like my MMA team has won a lot of championships, therefore you know. I have all the belt manufacturers on speed dial.
I know.
I guess.
Hey, I have a match coming up this weekend. Can you make me a belt in 24 hours?
I guess, you know, it just goes to show how little I know about the combat sports, because I would have guessed that the people sponsoring the event make the belt, but apparently you have to make it yourself.
Yeah.
I would like to clarify that thumbs up to the thing that is happening, thumbs in the middle for this segment.
Ah.
Hmm.
What did
now,
you?
Now that is an interesting clarification.
Yeah.
Indeed, Calder. What did you get?
It was a middle for me.
Oh, okay.
It was not peak America's top team men of the year.
Yeah, you know what? I just want to take the name America's top team and throw it in the garbage. I don't want to hear that phrase ever again. I'm so tired of it. Like, let's say the names of the people that are actually coming over from America's top team. Let's just not say America's top team. Let's talk about men of the year. Let's talk about Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. I wish Dan would just really let it go. I know that's his whole entire reputation, but he's been at AEW now for a minute and we can talk about other things. All right. Shivani, talking to Thunder Rosa. She was Ranchero style tonight and unfucking believable. She's so good. She calls out Serena Deeb, of course. This was a great promo. I don't even know what to say. I can't wait. I cannot wait. I cannot wait until Sunday.
Oh,
man.
Thumbs up.
Just thinking about what she's going to wear is like enough to consume all of my like time before then, because like she like, and they did in a few instances, and they do have a way of doing this that they don't. They give you a certain amount of pay-per-view level like attire and like match and segment stuff, so she definitely looked like she was already in a pay-per-view. But like if that's just the preview, then I'm very excited.
Yeah, man.
Obviously, I thumb this up. I fucking love it. When she's like, on Sunday, La Mera Mera will teach you a lesson. I'm like, yes, love this so much. Listener Andy also thumbed this up. However, I could not disagree more that he said 100% better than Serena Deeb's promo last week, because I thought that promo was also fire. I was listening to something else that made me go back and check. I think Thunder Rosa came out early last week because it felt like Deeb still had some stuff to do with Dustin, and she ends up slapping him. She slaps him as Thunder's coming out, so you know you don't get that sort of dramatic build of a whack, what, and then Thunder comes out to, you know, to fight her. And then this week they start playing her music early,
yeah,
before she's done talking. And I'm like, what's happening here? Can we get our cues right, please? Because that's stagecraft, and I'm not having it.
They
did fuck
run
it up.
T's and B's before the show.
Well, I do
exactly.
I do relate to it because I know I've been there too many times where I show up early and they're still cleaning the house before the party. So you know that's it sucks. Not fun.
We've got Red Velvet talking to Shivani, right? Yeah, Shivani. She's mad. She's mad that she's not moving on in the brackets. She mentions Ruby Soho, and Ruby shows up. She's like, hey, you got something you want to say? And Red Velvet gives Ruby a notebook of all of Chris Statlander's foibles.
Exploit them at will.
No, I am for this. Keep going.
Well, wait, what you call foibles, I guess I would call her medical chart.
Well, I mean, there's only so much, right? Like, the rest of it is just foibles. So
you think largely it's a burn book?
Yeah, she's like, she hates it when people wear yellow and blue. So wear yellow and blue. Or, you know, stuff like this, right? Like,
she is an okay parallel Parker at best.
Like, what you gotta do is find a way to make her parallel park. That will then make her so pissed that when she comes in, she'll be foggy headed. Won't be able to wrestle correctly.
Do you develop a brain fog when you have to parallel park?
Well, I develop a brain fog when there's something frustrating that I can't shake off. You know what I mean?
I do know.
I'm a great parallel parker, though. I lived in Chicago. Hello. There was only parallel parking in Chicago, which is hilarious because out here there's like almost none.
No, it's more like there's only parallel universe parking. That's where right. You're in some other plane of existence where there is a spot.
Oh yeah, I'm liking it.
Yeah,
waiting
for thank you. Waiting for Jan to check in with the congrats.
Yep, you are definitely
that's all
waiting.
You got for us. All right. So, what did you think, Chan? Of this whole bit, not our bit.
Again, I'm going to return to stagecraft and production design. That book that supposedly has all of her research, you know, that like a Tony Nese would be writing down in, looked like it was just purchased. It looked like a fancy moleskin that had no writing in it whatsoever.
We need a three-ring binder here or a regular spiral notebook.
I need to see a fucking peachy folder with some drawings on it because this shit doesn't look real.
Maybe it could be a steno pad.
I need some Venn diagrams.
I love me some steno pads.
And the middle.
Steno pads are the best.
I need some Venn diagrams. So like you got the two circles and the middle part, it just says can't wrestle. So, like, one side it says parallel parking, and the other circle it says no breeders in the commissary.
Oh,
yeah,
no breeders in the commissary.
I meant burritos.
Jesus Christ! Like, look, like I'm not a fan of heteros either, but we don't have to get like friggin' militant LGBTQ out here.
What? Look,
what are you saying? What the fuck?
What? Do you know what breeders are?
I said burritos on accident, and I meant burrito. Right.
It sounded like breeders.
Whatever.
I heard breeders, yeah.
See?
Like, as a woman I'm not being crazy referenced woman. As a breeder forever, hello. Not but saying who, that every person I meet says breeder, but
I would hope
it's
not.
Like,
who the hell are you hanging out with?
It's a term people use.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It's a not nice term.
But where'd you get the LGBTQ thing?
Because that's what a militant LGBTQ person
says
will
to
call
a cis person?
Hetero. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Breeders.
That like all heterosexual people like contribute to breeding. Yeah.
Interesting.
Anywho,
very interesting. See, we're all learning things tonight. I didn't know anything about the militant LGBTQ.
This is not a. I don't think anybody's learning anything useful.
No, no. This show needs to just dissolve into goo.
Well, we need to check Urban Dictionary for the definition of breeder.
No, or the definition of a foible. What would Urban Dictionary say about foibles?
What would they say?
I middle this segment. Okay. What did you thumb this?
I middled it.
I upped it. I like Ruby. I like what she did.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry. We went on entirely too long for that segment. That segment was all of 30 seconds. Okay. Britt Baker versus Toni Storm. You know, Britt really does have a great intro.
She does.
Okay, so Toni Storm, she just does not excite me.
Really?
Yeah. What'd you guys think? I mean, no, not just in general, just about the match. What did you think?
I agree with you. I wasn't thrilled by this match, but it did enough for me that I thumbed it up. But I, yes, have been waiting for Toni Storm to like really grab me. I saw her a little bit back in WWE, but not a whole lot. And so I never really, you know, like, oh God, this is the person we need to bring in. And when she came in, I'm like, okay, well, obviously, you know, she's worth bringing in. So let's see what she got. And there's, she hasn't really shown me anything that I've been like super excited about.
Yeah.
Kind of like Jamie Hayter, who like, I like her. I like Jamie a little bit more than Toni Storm.
Yeah.
But really? Also she's been kind of underwhelming for, you know, how they brought her in.
I agree. I totally agree. They haven't given Jamie enough of a push, I think. I think Toni came in and sort of took what the push could have been for Jamie, it seems like. But the more I see Jamie Hayter, the more I like her, the more I get to see her personality and just how she is in the ring. I actually really like her. Toni Storm, I do not get personality. I'm just not excited by her, like in the ring. Not that she's bad, but I guess because I don't have any history with her and I've seen her so little and she doesn't talk. We had fucking 4 or 5 weeks where she didn't say a fucking word during promos. Yeah. So yeah. I am so, so underwhelmed and care not a fucking shit what happens to her. You know what I mean?
Dang.
I'm sitting
not,
here.
Not if she lives or dies.
Really? I was like, oh, bloody nose? Cool. just kidding. But you know what I mean? Like, I just don't fucking care. Like, you know, I don't like being in that position where I don't care about a match that I'm watching. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there, if you can believe it, rooting for Britt. Because I'm like, at least she's interesting. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that the women's division, there's other people that really remind me of her. And, you know, like Penelope Ford, right, is like someone that I have way more history with, just given that I've been watching her for a long time. And I like her. And I like the things that she's done. I don't know. I just want to see more of her as opposed to Toni Storm, who is real similar, maybe has more experience and is a better technical wrestler, but doesn't have any of the same pizzazz and attitude and, like, you know, just panache in the ring, you know? I just really like Penelope Ford. I mean, I guess that's just a statement of fact and has nothing to do with this match.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. I think that this like says something about what they ought to be doing as far as bringing in talent or not bringing in talent, because, okay, they bring in Toni Storm and she ends up cannibalizing from multiple people. And that's something that can happen, is that you can add and not really gain assets, particularly because you're like, well, you can only use so much if your strategy is to not use very much. Which is why I was saying again the thing about like just like how they use who they have. Something else that I think is very interesting is that I think it's interesting that there is like any like particular lack of enthusiasm for Toni Storm, because something I had read was that she's one of the people that Stardom would want to come over if there's like exchanges of Forbidden Door talent going back and forth. So I just thought that was interesting.
Well,
I would be a big fan of seeing them make some talent trades with Stardom.
You know, and again, it just could all come down to not knowing her, not having any history with her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it did lead me to look into whether or not Penelope Ford was still on the roster, because I get really scared. You know, I had no idea Stu Grayson would be let go, and I really liked Stu Grayson. So I'm like, wait, what the fuck? Well, so I looked into it, and guess what? Brian Cage is still on the roster.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so is Christopher Daniels and Kip Sabian. So,
yeah.
And Nakazawa. Well, we haven't seen him since, we haven't seen Nakazawa since Omega took his break. At least I haven't, because I don't watch, I only watch Dynamite for the most part, Dynamite and Rampage.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of ancillary content, and a lot of those people do show up. Like Christopher Daniels is all over BTE and that kind of thing. And so,
cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I middled this match, not that because it was a bad match, it wasn't, but I just wasn't excited.
I thumbed it up because I feel like I've been too harsh on some matches in the past. I'm like, yeah, I'll just let this. This is fine.
Hmm.
I liked it. I like Toni Storm.
So you upped it.
You fool.
I did. Yeah. Hey, you know, if I'm a fool, that's the kind of fool that I think I want to be.
Also,
what a fool believe.
I'm putting this out into the world, and I want this to happen. Danhausen should have a, there should be a run where Danhausen pesters Britt for more teeth so he can have more teeth for his jars. And then she eventually sells him some.
Yes.
And
I hope that happens.
Because then you can have bits where he needs like pouches of gold, or because you know he has that whole bit too.
Yes, it's a very funny bit. It would never happen. I feel like that's the sort of thing that you would you would lose your license over, even joking about that sort of thing. So I don't think
that you can make jokes.
What license?
Her dental license.
Her fucking dental license.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
She's got a legitimate career there.
Yeah.
And like someday she's going to blow out her knee and she's not going to be able to wrestle anymore.
Well, first of all, everyone can joke. You can talk about bringing a bomb on the airplane on TV. You can do it.
Oh, boy.
On TV? You just can't do it at the airport.
Unless you're on TV.
In which case, we're all good. Yeah.
All right. Samoa Joe, Kyle O'Reilly. Samoa Joe's kicking ass. And, you know, here we are. We last time had predicted Kyle O'Reilly was going to win because we're like, we need more heels. Or maybe it was Adam Cole we're talking about. It was one some match.
No, it was Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah, okay. So then I was like, oh, here we go. Samoa Joe, Kyle O'Reilly, obviously, it's going to be a face, but maybe not, right? Maybe not. Maybe it'll cause some turmoil amongst Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. And it would be an opportunity to see them go against each other. So what's going to happen? Lots of near falls. O'Reilly keeps kicking out. And I was like, oh, shit, they're going to have O'Reilly win. Just because, I love both of these guys, but Samoa Joe wins.
Mm-hmm.
So next week it's going to be a WWE match. Adam Cole and Samoa Joe.
I'm okay with that. I love them both.
Yes.
Sad to see Kyle O'Reilly lose. He's going to lose because Samoa Joe is just a monster, and I love him so much.
Mm-hmm.
The only note I have on this match is the one moment where Joe has whipped him to the ropes, and he just lets out this scream of like, mother, and then just plows him with a lariat. I was just like, yeah.
That was really good.
When I think of Samoa Joe, that's what I think of. Just a guy that's like, rah! It's beautiful.
He also looked so cool when he was staring down Adam Cole, and Adam Cole came out at the end. God, I love Samoa Joe. I'm so happy I get to watch him again.
It's a real blessing. But Kyle O'Reilly remains like resolutely impressive to the extent that it's hard to imagine him not being at the very top of the card, like holding a championship at some point.
You know, he just got signed for, he signed for a 5-year contract. So he definitely has superstar potential and they know it. And they're like, we're going to have you do all kinds of shit now that you signed your life away.
Guess what? It's going to be a real death match. Goodbye.
So given our thumbs.
I'm doing the math. Okay, keep vamping.
Okay, so we're going to keep going. So my cat.
Oh, yeah. Talk about your cat.
Okay, so my cat. She's new, you know, and we're still getting to know each other. And
all right, I've done the math.
Okay, good.
I've run this all through. We actually, you know what? Let me do this one real quick too, just okay. So we can have a
talk about your cat again.
Separate number. And there it is. Okay. That is we. Gave this show an 89%. Uh-huh. Just missing the must watch. Uh-huh. Combined with the other, with our audience input, it's an 84%. Still pretty good.
Ooh.
And separately, the audience thumbs were an 82%. So
interesting.
That's how that math worked out.
It is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And now we go to Steve Kornacki on his big board with some more digging into the numbers.
Oh, shoot. No, you know what? I did that wrong. There. Okay. The audience rating was a 77%. That makes more sense.
Oh.
Because 84 is in between 89 and 77 and not. Anyhow.
All right.
Fascinating stuff.
So there you go. This is a pretty good show, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Good. I mean, like for a show right before a pay-per-view, like it might have been even better, but it was still pretty good. So we have Rampage, of course, on Friday, and then the three of us go into a whirlwind of activity around the pay-per-view and the Los Angeles Dynamite. So we may be a bit bedraggled during our tapings, but I'm sure we'll have some interesting things to say.
If you're in Burbank for the pay-per-view, come see us.
Oh,
and
my
if
God.
You're in Inglewood for the Dynamite, come find us. We're in X
the nosebleediest nosebleeds.
Oh yeah, we're in the very highest rows somewhere, opposite the hard camera side. I think that for whatever reason,
but
that's
how. If you guys are watching, if you guys are going to be there, I don't know. I don't know who's going to be at the LA show, but if you are going to be there, if you are going to wear a Republic of Lucha shirt, some sort of swag, any kind of swag, because
I was going to make an Usher shirt.
If they see you, they're giving out to somebody just randomly that they see with their stuff, some prizes.
Ooh.
That's wait a cool. minute. Are you gonna wear a Republic of the Lucha shirt?
I'm wearing a Lucha Brothers shirt that's made at Republic of Lucha.
Nice.
Because of course I'm gonna wear a Lucha Brothers shirt.
Okay.
I mean, I really like my Thunder Rosa shirt. Maybe I'll have like many shirts.
Well,
please do not change your clothes.
No, mid-show. I mean, I'm absolutely going to spill like something that can't come out onto whatever she wears first to make sure that she gets the chance to wear everything.
I see. Well, that's kind of you. Thoughtful.
Yeah, I'm a good guy. I'm a good guy.
That is not the word I would use ever. But
it would be bad if I said I was a nice guy because that has a connotation.
Right.
But I think good guy. Is fair.
Yeah, good guy with a gun. Everybody loves those.
Yeah.
They help.
Well, I don't have a gun yet. I thought that was you attempting to play the out music. No,
that was Teresa saying it's time to go.
Yeah.